hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And here we are with episode 88 of Destroy All Culture with Aiden Morgan and me, Adam P. Nave.
Hello.
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 There we go. It's been an hour of making unintelligible
noise. Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, it was just before we started, I'm hungover as all... I'm hungover as shit, as the kids say.
Well... So we can start, and I can carry the load here. We can start talking about the Psych movie.
Oh, yes, please
if
do.
If you'd like. Because, now, I think we both... I don't know, how much of Psych did you watch?
I watched the first season, and I have a few, I think, from the later seasons. So I don't know how the show ended up. I figured the show kind of ended up pretty much as it started. But I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's... I watched the first four seasons, so I've seen half the show.
Ah, okay.
And I just went into this going like, well, we'll see what happens. And, I mean, pretty much it went about as I expected. You know, there's a location shift.
Hmm.
They're all in San Francisco now.
Oh, okay.
And Sean and what's her name are engaged.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a... That'll
which must have happened like the last episode of, you know, the season type of... Whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, there's nothing really shocking except for like... The police captain also moved down there?
Oh, well, that's a little strange, but okay. It's a show. Everybody moves to the same place
right.
for different reasons.
Right, and, like, she has a daughter, and I don't know if this happens later in the seasons, but she has a daughter who, at least now, I don't know if she was before. Again, I didn't see the later seasons. But she's being played by the same teen daughter in Supergirl.
Oh, her, yeah.
Yeah, so that was good. I mean, she's not a bad actress, so.
Are we talking when
it
you
was just
say,
it was it threw me a little bit.
Yeah, when you say the same teen daughter in Supergirl, are you talking about the young woman who plays Rain's daughter, or are you talking about the woman
yes.
who plays? Okay. Okay. Weird. Yeah, I still don't know how old she's supposed
right.
to be in Supergirl. Anyway.
I don't either, and you know, so like just having her randomly pop up in Psych for like a while, I was just like, what am I watching? What's going on?
We'll go to her IMDb
and
profile.
Again, maybe she's in the later seasons of Psych and it shouldn't have surprised me. It just threw me a little bit.
Yeah.
What do I know?
You know, I have a feeling we're going to go to that kid's IMDb profile and she's going to be like 50 years old. It's just going to... nothing will make sense.
You don't watch episodes, so you don't quite understand why that's really weirdly
going. Oh, okay. Yes. I will. I have to watch
There's
show.
A character in episode 2, like, they never... Like, she's supposed to be, like, this kind of, you know, like, hot leading lady type who's, like, you know, maybe, like, in her 20s and, like, obviously in her 30s, but, you know, at least it says she's in her, like, late 20s type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then she, like, refers to things like, you know, oh, yeah, no, back when, like, I was dealing with this and, like, it had to have happened in, like, the 40s. And it's just this running joke that she's, like, apparently immortal.
I love that.
Also, just, and this does play into it a little bit, Timothy Amundsen, who plays Lassiter, and of course was Kane on Supernatural, which is where I really know him
right.
personally,
yeah.
Had a heart attack.
Oh, yeah. I heard he had like a stroke or something, yeah.
He had like a stroke, and so he was still recovering, so he has a very, very small scene that's like, you know, basically on like FaceTime with Maggie, like that's it.
Oh,
it's a very well done bit, and they don't reference it at all. They just act like he didn't come with them, and I'm sure again the end of the season, like he probably took over that police department or something.
Yeah.
But they still do manage to fit him in for a little bit. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, I think from what I heard, they had the director and the creative people had to rewrite massive amounts of the movie to get around that, like in with no time like at all, and they. They said they
yeah, I can see kind of where, like, that there's, like, not that there's really a hole, but, like, you could see where he would have come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's kind of this brief phone call where he doesn't. Mm. But past that, really, it's an episode of Psych. Like, it really is just a long episode of Psych. And that's not a dig. Like, that's kind of...
you know, in that, like, oh, look, they're coming back sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of shows, you know, you have things like Serenity, of course, which is, like, a big movie, so they had to play like no one had seen it, but a lot of these, like, Gilmore Girls or whatever, you know, still move the world forward and try for, like, a slightly different tone because people are older and all this.
Right.
Psych is like, no, they're older and they're in a slightly different place. It's the exact same shit.
That's exactly what I thought
And
it
that's
would be.
exactly right for Psych. I mean, that is exactly what Psych should do, right? Because that's, I mean, the show is comfort food. Like, that's, and again, that in no way a dig. Like, we need that sort of thing. I think that kind of show is really good. But there's not anything else there, and there shouldn't be. So it's really easy to just be like, well, we're just going to do another thing. And I found that, like, again, like, I got sick of Psych because I was watching a bunch of it all at once.
Right.
And it starts to get really repetitive. But not having watched it in, like, a while, I'm just going back and being like, well, here's, like, a new episode of Psych type of thing. Which I guess I could have gotten just by watching, like, season 5. But, you know, still. Worked really in its favor in that it was just like, this is exactly what I wanted it to be. It was just like a lighthearted, fun episode of Psych.
Exactly.
They really downplay. I did think it was interesting that, like, there's almost no. There's, like, one or two moments, I think, where Sean uses his, you know, bullshit memory thing.
That's always fun. I always got a kick out of his. I mean, it was just. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous, but I mean, it was the premise.
Right,
So.
but I mean, they barely use it. Like, they use it, like, twice.
Huh.
And I think it was one of those, just in case there are new people showing up, we don't want to have to explain it. So we're just going to toss it in when we have to. And again, it the thing focuses on what Psych used to do the best out of everything, which is just bouncing the characters off of each other in silly little, like, dumb ways.
Yeah.
You know, that is kind of the heart of the show. It's like they have a new office, and it's in, like, Chinatown. It's down an alley, and everyone else but Sean hates it. But, like, he's made it so it's a replica of the shop from Gremlins.
I like that.
And, like, they keep mentioning that. It's just like, it's full of, like, weird shit like that, where it's just like, I don't know why we're doing this other than someone thought it was funny in the room.
Right.
And why do you need a bigger excuse than that, you know?
I think that's pretty much the heart and soul of Psych, is what you do not need a bigger excuse
right.
than, like, getting people together and having them bounce off each other.
Yeah. They do have Zach Leffy as one of the main villains for a while.
Oh, okay.
In the episode, in the movie, whatever you want to call it.
The movie-sode? Can we coin that? The
movie-sode?
All right.
Yeah. And he's kind of playing this. He's nicknamed the Thin White Duke because he's trying to be Bowie. He has his British accent. But it's also like no one's really buying it. They're like, is he trying to sound like Bowie? And actually, the first time they mention it, they're like, you know, in a fight with him. And they're like, you trying to sound like Bowie? He's like, first of all, let's get something straight. Only Bowie sounds like Bowie. You know, it's just like.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, no, so they have fun with that, and of course it ends on the setup and a cliffhanger for another one, where if you never get it, you don't need it, and if you do get it, hey, look, fun. You know? Because, again, that's what its job is, right? Like, that's what this is expressly for. Like, do, like, an extra-long episode of Psych, and then see if we can maybe do more of them. My only complaint was because it felt like just an episode of Psych. Somewhere around halfway through, I was like, why isn't this over yet?
That's, oh god, yes, I understand perfectly.
There was a bit of that, where it was like, oh, that's right, this is longer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, it was fine. It was, if you like Psych, you'll definitely enjoy this. If you're meh on Psych, like both of us are, really, like, it's not a bad thing, but we don't tend to go out of our way. It's still a cute, distractionary watch, like, there's no downside to it,
exactly.
Unless you hate Psych, in which case, why would you even consider watching this?
Yeah, I don't think anybody sat around and said, we gotta target this show at the people that hate Psych. Nope.
Right, and I also think, like, if you've never seen Psych, and you're like, well, maybe I would like Psych, I should try watching Psych, this is a perfectly fine thing to start watching. Like, there's obviously a lot of old characters and all this that you're like, who? What?
Yeah.
But despite that, you can still have fun. Oh. And then you could theoretically go back and like be like, how did they get here? Oh. Let me spend 8 years of my life finding out.
Hold on one sec, Adam. I have to rescue a plate of food from a cat. I'll be right back.
Okay. Or a cat from a plate of food, depending on what the plate of food is. It could go either way. I was just thinking when Aiden was like, oh, I have to go do this. I was like, maybe I'll sing the psych song. Not going to happen, folks. But I did consider it for a second, just so you know. So
okay.
That was the thing that almost happened.
Oh,
anyway.
What was the thing that almost, I missed the thing that almost happened.
Oh, I was just telling our listeners that I had a brief second of going, maybe while you're gone, I'll sing the psych theme song, but no.
Oh. Fair enough.
But yeah, it was also very much like a Christmas thing, but they didn't really lean into Christmas much.
Yeah, I heard it was like a holiday reunion.
But it really kind of wasn't.
Oh, okay. It was just an excuse for a long episode of Psych, in other words.
Well, again, they want to try to do more of these. Like, this is their plan. What I didn't realize mentally, like, I just hadn't done the math, I guess, and because I, you know, started watching it after it had already been off the air, was that it's only been 3 years since it went away.
Really? Is that all?
Yeah. It feels like longer.
Yeah.
And
see, in my mind, like, when I think of Dulé Hill, I think, like, West Wing or whatever. Yeah. Oh,
me
yeah.
too.
So it's sort of like I feel, even though he's still got a career, I feel like, no, he's that guy who was on West Wing.
Yep.
So, therefore, like, anything he was in past West Wing seems to have taken place in some weird alternate past time. So, you know, that's...
Right. No, I'm right there with you. Like, every time I see him in anything that isn't West Wing, I'm just like, this feels wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Like, shouldn't you be...
There are certain actors like that, though, like, where you see them, in the first thing you see them, they have such a presence, such a great performance.
Right.
That they're just pinned down to that. You know, like, Brad Whitford, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care what else he does. Like, whenever he plays, like he shows up in Brooklyn Nine-Nine as, like, the idiot father. Like, Jake's idiot father.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Josh, why are you playing? You know, it's, I can't get out of it.
Oh,
there's certain defining roles for actors.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but anyway, no, Psych was perfectly, you know, again, what you expect it to be.
Yeah. And whenever I see Timothy Olyphant in Psych, I'm like, where's your beard? Where is your beard, Timothy?
Well.
Because he looks so different.
What's funny is that he's done, because he did, like, I mean, this was, like, the thing, because it was 8 seasons, right? Like, this was the thing for him. But, like, I know him from Supernatural.
Right, me too.
And then there are a lot of people who was... He was on...
Gallivant.
Some other show.
He was on Gallivant.
Gallivant,
yeah.
Right. Where, like... Yeah. And, like, a lot of people pin him down to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's had enough biggish roles in enough different things that everyone has their own entry point.
Yeah.
Which is... I mean, that's the mark of a nice career, right?
I agree. And yeah, the streams don't seem to cross very much. You'd think there'd be more of an overlap between Psych and Supernatural, but, well, there you go.
No, you really wouldn't. Oh,
Psych
man,
or Natural.
That should never happen.
That's right, yes. An episode of Psych or Natural.
Psych or Natural. Oh, that's the other thing. It's like they changed the name of the agency to, like, Psych Francisco.
Oh. Oh, my God, Psych.
And, like, everyone else hates it, and it's, like, on this window, and, like, you know, it's the F, and Francisco is, like, a PH, so it's all run together as Psych Francisco. And, like, you know, the other characters are all like, just, why would you do that? And he's like, well, it's catchy. And like, no, it really isn't. So, again, one of those, like, they're playing.
Yeah.
And that is the nice thing, is that with the best episodes of Psych,
mm-hmm.
you always feel like they're having fun and just playing, and they don't really care about anything else.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
Like, again, not in a bad way, not in, like, a fuck everything, but just in a... We're having fun, and you know we want you to have fun too. And don't think about it too much,
right?
You know, like Chuck used to do.
Yes, actually, that's a great point of comparison for those who have not seen Psych but have seen Chuck.
Yeah,
is to say it's a bit like Chuck in that same fashion. Yeah,
it's a bit like Chuck. It's lighter than Chuck.
Yeah, and I mean
for the most part,
and Chuck was a fairly light show. Well, not always, but. Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like Chuck wasn't afraid to just be like, and now we're going to kill a lot of people. And that was the thing that, like, you know, Chuck, I think, got as silly as Psych, but also got darker at times and dealt with bigger things because it was a spy show.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it definitely isn't that same mode of, like, this is just TV that you watch to enjoy yourself. Like, you're not going to be out there, you know, writing think pieces about fucking Psych. Like, not going to happen. And thankfully, because they'd be terrible.
Yeah.
they'd be useless.
Having no thoughts on Psych, but 1,000 words to fill.
Hmm. Right. So also this week was the mid-season finale of all of the main CW shows, which we should also discuss the bizarreness for when everything comes back. I don't know if you've heard this. This whole schedule is weird.
Yeah, I don't know much. All I really know is that it's weird, but I don't know any of the specifics, so.
Okay, so Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends all went on hiatus this week. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow all come back, like, January 15th, like, that week.
Right.
Legends doesn't come back for a while. The slot that used to be Legends will be Black Lightning.
Right. And
a month later, on, like, February 15th, Supergirl, after, like, three or four episodes, goes on hiatus again for, like, 8 weeks... while Legends comes back and takes Supergirl's slot.
Hmm.
Then Legends ends, and again, at that point, like, Flash and Arrow end. And then Supergirl just keeps running through the end, through, like, the middle of the summer.
This is all very confusing to me.
It is a weird choice, and what I think it's a destructive choice, because all of those shows in America go up on Netflix, like, a week or two. I forget if it's the week after or 2 weeks after their season ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except Supergirl now won't go up until, like, August. And the rest of them will be up sometime in, like, April or May. Which means, God help you if you want to watch that crossover.
Hmm. Yeah, that's...
And I wonder if that's part of the reason is they want to push them, kind of unnaturally push them, to where you're not going to watch all this until you, like, closer to getting the DVDs.
Okay.
Which is fucked up if that's true, but, you know, like, no one can figure out because, like, Valor, which comes after Supergirl, will be ending. So it's like, they could have just put Legends in that slot.
Yeah.
And not taken Supergirl off the air. So no one knows why they're doing that. But it was a late announcement, which means there might be some sort of production issue with Supergirl going on.
Hmm.
I mean, and the Kreisberg firing could be behind all of this.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right.
So, I mean, there could just be the innocent reason of just, like, they have to restructure a whole bunch of shit, and they're in panic mode. I don't know. But chances are that has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
But as for the season, mid-season finale stuff, I know you haven't seen any of the four of them.
Not a minute of any of it.
I have seen all four, and I do think it's fascinating in that Flash and Supergirl both end on really dark moments.
Oh, that is interesting.
And, I mean, Arrow, it doesn't end on... It ends on the same fucking moment Arrow tends to always end on, which is, you know, like, the team and Ollie don't trust each other, and everything breaks apart.
Right.
Which, it's Arrow, I don't expect anything different. and that's fine, like, it's Arrow. Like, I'm not shocked or dismayed. Like, it's fine.
Right.
Legends ends on another cast member leaving.
Really?
Yeah, and then a new temporary cast member coming in.
Oh.
But who we know is temporary, but...
What, is it Rey? We're getting Rey. As in, the Rey.
No.
Duh.
No, but we lose the other half of Firestorm. Like, he's just like, fuck it, I'm out.
Oh, really? Okay.
For good reasons. You know, I can't move past the professor. Being on the ship reminds me, blah, blah, blah. I have to go live my life. So he's apparently, like, the actor's left for good. Like, that's it.
Oh, okay. Huh.
They've now both left. But the very, very tag of the episode, like, teases when they come back, is that John Constantine's on the ship.
Yes. Okay, I like that.
And it will only be for, like, an episode or two.
I know, but wow.
They will be adding a permanent new cast member, and everyone is assuming that it's Kid Flash at this point.
Yeah, I mean...
Because they need something to do with him.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't show up in this episode of Flash, either. And you're like, what the hell? Like, it's their Christmas episode. Like, why is he not there? And their explanation is that someone's like, oh, he's still in Midway. He's like, no, Cambodia. And that's it. They just leave it. I'm like, what? What is even happening? But, you know, Flash and Supergirl, like I said, end in very dark places. Supergirl starts digging into some of the Legion stuff sort of on the side.
Hmm.
And it is a version of the Legion that has never existed. And that's fine. Like, by all means, like, break it, reinvent it, have fun with
yeah.
it. As much as I love the Legion, like, I'm here for messing with shit. If you have a good story to tell that makes it work.
Right.
But it did throw me for a minute, because I was just like, wait, what? Like, and they still have to explain that the whole, like, there's a Legion ring, and wouldn't, like, her cousin have ever mentioned, oh, by the way, hang out with these people in the future.
You'd think that would come up.
But again, the Legion we're getting with Mon-El here is, like, very much brand new. Like, they don't have time travel yet.
Oh.
Like, and that's a weird miss.
Okay, now, well, color me intrigued.
Right, like, it's very, very early days Legion. Like, they just call themselves the Legion, and Wynn is like, oh, so you're like a Legion of superheroes. And that's when I was just like, again, why is the character going like, oh, shit, like, you guys, like, I've heard that name before, let me call, I mean, and I understand, like, you can't just call him Superman every minute, but there is, like, that, like, you know, we can text him, we can just be like, hey.
Texting the Legion.
Right. Well, no, texting Clark, and just yeah. being like, you know, hey, what the hell.
Yeah, hey, remember when they used to text Clark in every episode? Like
right.
in the first season?
And that's
like,
again, we've yeah. seen the Legion stuff in the Fortress, so, like, I can't imagine that Kara doesn't know about them. And that's a little wonky to me.
Hmm.
But, again, it's early days Legion. I don't know, whatever. If they deal with it, fine. If they don't, fine. I'm very much willing to forgive the, we did this before we knew we were going to do this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there is always that wobble. It's like, you know, you don't watch Iron Man and just, like, get angry that, like, the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing doesn't make any sense, given the later movies. You have to understand they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have a big, like, 20-year plan back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
You know, when they started doing Supergirl, they were like, we get to show the Fortress, and wouldn't it be cool to have, like, a Legion ring?
Right.
I mean, you can tell, like, they were, I mean, I'm sure, just like they were like, oh, one day we want to do Grodd. They were like, one day we'd love to do Legion, and they had no plan for it. And then they come up with a plan, and it doesn't match, you know, it doesn't match with what they had set up very well. That's okay. Like, this doesn't need one of those, like, here's what's wrong with, here's the 27 plot holes that aren't plot holes. Can I tell you how much I hate those fucking articles?
Oh my god, they're terrible. The CinemaSins, like, YouTube
yeah.
stuff. Which, when I first...
I saw a Star Wars one recently. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Hit me.
Yeah, I just remember one of the first time I saw it, I don't even know what it was. It was actually of a pretty terrible movie. So, it was funny because the things that they were pointing out were wrong, the so-called sins, were pretty bad. But then I watched a few more, and I'm like, wait a minute, they're literally... They're making fun of things that aren't actual problems. They're just
right.
It was weird. It was just like it reminded
well,
me of
I,
like
I saw...
like bullies in school, just sort of like picking on stuff that wasn't there to be picked on, you know, etc.
Right. Yeah. We're just making money off of doing this.
Yeah.
I saw an article that was like, you know, here's like 15 ways that the Last Jedi can fix the Force Awakens. Which, first of all, fuck you if you think it needs fixing. Let's just start there. But
right.
All of their fixes were like, they could explain this thing, and they could make sense out of this, and they could show how this happens. And it's like, yes, it's called a part of a trilogy. Obviously, they didn't answer every single question you had in the first movie, otherwise it would have been one movie. So, yes, it's a sure bet that the next movies will, in fact, continue the story that they are telling over three movies. That is not fixing the first movie. That's called telling a story in three parts. This is not new.
Right.
This is not something to be called out.
Yeah.
Like, just sit the fuck down.
Yeah, it's like if you buy a shirt and somebody says, well, that shirt would be better if you had pants. And you're like, I do have pants. I'm wearing them. Like, that's...
Right, like...
Yeah. That's a strange analogy, but I
can give you an analogy that kind of works along the same clothing line, in fact.
Okay.
I recently bought a new jacket.
Oh.
Now, I bought this new jacket because occasionally it gets cold here.
Right.
Being Portland, it does do that. And I have a thermal, like, insulated hoodie that is generally pretty good, but sometimes it gets a little too cold for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wore it to go buy my new jacket, because this new jacket was specifically designed in my head. Like, what I was looking for was a jacket that I would wear over a hoodie. Because right. I layer. Which means that if I wear the jacket without the hoodie...
It'll be a little bulky.
It's too big.
Yeah.
Right, and it's loose, so, like, wind just travels up it. Now, when wind travels up the jacket, it's not a failure of the fucking jacket. It's I am not using the product in the way that I specifically chose to design it. Like...
Gotcha.
I have broken the metric for which this jacket exists. It's not a failure. You know, this is a piece of a thing, not a thing in and of itself, is how I need to think about it.
Mm-hmm. I think I like that. That's a good. That works.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just ugh. And of course, you know, next week, the Friday, I guess, this coming week, Last Jedi actually comes out.
Oh yes.
And I won't be seeing it till Monday.
Ah.
So if we record next week, I will not have seen it. I'm sure that the 3 days in which I won't see it, everyone on the internet will go out of their way to spoil it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I won't send you emails spoiling it. No, I will not.
It's funny, because, like, I got used to it with TV, you know, especially living on the left coast. Like, East Coast gets shit 3 hours before and everyone's going to talk about their TV show while they watch it, because apparently that's a thing now.
Yeah, that's real fun.
Just watch your fucking TV show. Stop talking about it, just watch it.
Yeah.
What's your problem? But, no, the movie thing, like, it's gotten weird, because, like, I used to not like going to opening nights, because it was just too crowded, and now that I can pre-buy tickets so I know I have a seat and all that, I try to actually go to the first showing I can possibly humanly go to for any movie I want to see, because, like, I went and saw Thor, like, that Thursday, you know, mm-hmm. Thursday evening,
because
mm-hmm. it opens on Friday morning, so there are usually two shows here. At the theater I go to that happened on Thursday night, which is nice. Because by Friday morning, things like Tumblr already somehow had, like, gift sets.
Oh my god.
And people just being like, oh yeah, no, this part was really funny, and, like, this joke was great. And I'm like, what? Holy shit, like, the movie technically just opened. Like, not even 12 hours ago.
How do you do this? How do you do this so quickly? Why and why? Well, I know the why. The how is actually what I want to know. Oh, jeez.
And, you know, I do understand that, like, you know, it's like, well, I was really excited by a thing, so I need to talk about it, and I do get that, but it's also like, just shut up. Like, let people actually have a chance to see some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Before you feel the need to go off on it.
I agree completely. I don't know, like,
but,
and
you know,
yeah, you're very familiar with the, like, people who will say what they think are coy, unrevealing things on Twitter about the show that they're watching, but you have not seen yet, but you look at it and you're like, oh well, I know what happens now.
Right. Yeah, I think my favorite one of those was honest to God accidental. I have a friend who makes money to buy new comics by buying old comics and then selling them for more money.
Oh, okay.
He does a little bit of speculation, because people, you know, will still pay, like, you know, if you get in the right little window. Again, whatever you feel about that aside, this is what he does.
Okay, sure.
You know, he'll buy an issue of a thing because he knows that, like, this, you know, there's a movie that's like, just announced about this character, so he'll buy, like, the first appearance of that character and then sell it, like, 2 days later for, like, 10 or 15 bucks more than he paid for it. And use that money to buy new comics. Like, you know, it's all
good. Fair enough.
But when the first Guardians movie came out, I didn't see it, like, opening night, because I couldn't. And he was like, well, you know, he just got back from Guardians, and he'll often post, like, you know, oh, I just picked up, like, this for this much money, just, like, as a thing. And he suddenly started picking up a bunch of, like, Howard the Duck stuff. And I was like, well, weirdly, thank you for ruining that. Like, and I can't play, like, that's not a spoiler. Like,
No.
You can't be mad at it, but you can still be mad at it.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It was the most innocent thing, but it obviously told me, like, well, geek thing happened. Now this geek thing happened. Like, okay, I can do math, you know.
Oh, that's great. Hey, speaking of Guardians.
Yeah.
I noticed, I was, yesterday, I was kicking around, and I noticed Guardians Volume 2 was on Netflix. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm not doing much. I think I'll watch me a bit of Guardians Vol 2. And then I was watching it, and then, but all of a sudden, this guy with this sort of like plummy and jovial British accent was talking over the film. It's like, Marvel Studios. Oh, Baby Groot dances. I'm like, what is going on? What? And I was thinking, was this in the film? And I don't remember it. And then,
did you get like the visual impairment like assist?
That's exactly what it was. It was like descriptive video. But I, for some reason, it was turned on. I have no idea why. But I have to say, I absolutely love descriptive video. My favorite ever. I think one evening. I think we're at a. Alan and I were like at a hotel or somewhere, and we ended up watching like episodes of Magnum PI with descriptive video, and it was the funniest freaking thing. It's like, you know, there's a scene. It's like Magnum drives down the highway, the wind tousling his hair. I'm like, nobody needs to know this.
Oh yeah, no, this is like in the 90s when cable systems started getting closed captioning.
Right.
And we used to watch MTV because it would always just be like, you know. Like moaning,
right?
Oh. Random noises. Like this is what it would just put up in brackets for the. Yeah, you know, I've noticed Netflix will do that sometimes. Like it'll just randomly like start up a thing with like closed captions or descriptors. It just I don't know what it does, but it does that.
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, I remember one long time ago we used to in the 90s. My roommate and I. We'd watch Simpsons episodes with the captions because sometimes the jokes in the captions would be a little different than the ones on screen. And I'm not quite sure why. And sometimes it was clear that they just, whoever was captioning didn't understand like part of the gag. There's one episode when Lisa's doing this, whoosh, whoosh, to like sort of indicate that Bart's whipped. But she has this sort of ambiguous sort of gesture. And the person who read the captions interpreted it as a toilet flushing.
Huh.
So it was like toilet flushing.
Yeah,
like,
I think my favorite closed captioning type mistake is the Weather Channel, you know, has like a scroll. Or at least it used. I haven't watched Weather Channel in decades at this point. But back like in the early, like late 80s, early 90s, like it had this constant scroll for weather. And it would update. And I was watching, it was like really late one night, it was like middle of the night, and I was just like still awake and just couldn't sleep. And I just turned on the fucking Weather Channel for a minute, you know? And I'm looking at the scroll, and you can see the scroll's being typed live. Like, you just, it's not scrolling so much as it's being typed. Like, whatever intern was supposed to do it was like rushing. And there were a bunch of typos, and so you'd have to like backspace across the type and then retype it. And then at one point, I swear to God, at one point he just typed out, like, I'm new, sorry, and then backspaced over it really quick and kept going.
Oh, that's so good.
And I was just like, shout out to your stoner friends. Like, what the fuck?
Wow. I'm impressed. I'm just straight up impressed.
Huh. Yeah, it's always fun. If you turn on, like, closed captioning for live events, it's amazing. You know, like, watch, like, a baseball game sometime.
Right.
Where they're trying to keep up with the announcers, it gets funny. And because they're like on a slight delay, like usually they'll keep going into the commercials, and that gets surreal.
Oh, that does sound
like here's this burrito, and they're like, and he's out at second, and you're like, what? The burrito? What? Talk to me. I need to understand this. Please explain.
Yeah, what's with the burrito?
So anyway, also we've both now seen. The Marvelous Ms. Maisel?
Yeah, you know, I have a question that needs answering. I've been looking at some lists of top 10, you know, movies, TV shows, whatever of the year, and I'm not seeing The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on them, and I am, what the fuck? It is, It is clearly like one of the best things that's come out this year.
Yeah, I think it just came
A
out
little too late, maybe?
because it a little too late for people to just sit and watch and make their list, because these lists are usually written in advance,
Yeah.
obviously.
Well, not
But
written
also,
after
it has
they
that
happen.
weird. It also has that Amazon Prime problem of the first episode happened so long ago, I think people forgot about it for a minute.
Oh, that could be it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I do say that I'm kind of impressed because, Amy Sherman-Palladino, like, I love Gilmore Girls. And then I saw Bunheads and I was like, this is superior.
Right. And then.
And then this, I'm like, oh, this is superior.
Yeah.
Like,
I
that's
thought.
a good track record to have.
Yeah. I mean, it's. And I'm really glad because after. I mean, frankly, I just found the Year in the Life Gilmore Girls miniseries. I found it to be a bit of a disappointment overall. There were too
You
many.
can't go home again.
Exactly. There were just too many things that they wanted to do that just weren't really working for for that very reason. You can't go home again.
Right. And I think, again, I think we both at the time even discussed like the fact that like had they done this as season 7, it would have worked, but doing it 10 years later, the story stopped working, but she was locked into the story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and just couldn't. Yeah, the Paladinos weren't able to sort of think their way around it. But and there was the different format was, it was a whole. They were trying different things, and it, yeah. But anyway, but there was some. I still enjoyed it, but it was not what I was hoping for. But yeah, the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is, I mean, it really is like that moment at the end when she says, "I'm Mrs. Maisel," and she sort of has arms up in like a rock, almost like a rocky pose. I'm like, yeah, that's the show. This is like that whole moment pretty much encapsulates the sort of the how
Right. I
wonderful the
mean,
show is.
what's funny is like the first episode is great, and then like two and three kind of, I mean, they don't stumble, but and I think it was just we did the first episode so long ago, we kind of have to build back.
Right.
And then there's that one, I forget if it's like five or so, where it's the big disappointment episode, where like everything just goes wrong and she quit, and it's just like it was so uncomfortable to watch that episode.
Oh my God, like where she keeps on bombing on stage.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
just
that
like,
was.
holy shit! Like that was just physically uncomfortable to
Oh,
watch,
I know, I know. They do. They do.
and
I
it
mean.
actually gave me pause to like keep watching the show for a minute because I
Oh
was just like,
yeah.
I don't know if I could take more of this for a little bit.
Yeah, I was really like yeah, I remember finishing that episode and I thought, if she bombs in the next episode, I won't be able to finish this because it's just too. It was too uncomfortable to even sort of watch somebody, a made up character, being
Right,
treated
in an audience that's paid to do this, yeah.
that
No,
way.
and it really is just a testament to the writing that like
Yeah.
you get lost in it and are just like, holy shit, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then it picks back up and figures itself, and again it starts its heroic reversal,
Yeah, exactly.
and just swims to the end of it. But I mean, just great casting
Yeah,
all the way
right,
through.
the whole yeah, all the way through. I mean, even when there were characters that I kept on thinking, why are we following the exploits of Joel Maisel around because he's horrible.
Right.
But Michael, is it Michael Zegen who plays him? Yeah, I mean he does such a good job of playing him because he's. There are moments when he is really quite charming, but you realize those are moments in which he's in the same room with Midge, with Muriel, and
Right.
it's like oh, because we're seeing him as she sees him in that moment, so suddenly
Well,
our
and also
sympathies
he's
shift.
seeing himself as she sees
Yes,
him.
bingo, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like and he becomes this really fascinating character once you put that together.
Exactly.
And of course, like her parents. I mean, just God, the acting skills they hired for this.
Oh yeah, Tony Shalhoub. Forget
Well, I mean,
about
Tony
it.
Shalhoub, who made his entire career by taking a nothing role and turning it into an amazing bit of weirdness.
Right.
You know about that, right? The
No.
Quick Change thing.
What's that?
Okay, there's a movie called Quick Change, which is one of my
Oh.
all-time favorite movies.
What? I never heard of this.
No one has heard of it. That's the thing. It has, but when I tell you, like, this thing, is Bill Murray, oh God, Gina Davis, and what's his fuck? Hold on, I have to look that up, because I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, but I am.
No, I'm just IMDbing it right now. Quick change.
Oh my god. And Randy Quaid.
Is this the 1990 film?
Yeah. Like, it has Randy Quaid, Gina Davis, and Bill Murray as the stars.
Oh, and Jason Robards.
And the entire thing is, like, basically that they rob a bank.
Huh.
And the trick isn't, well, how are they going to get away with this? It's the entire story is they have to get out of New York. Except New York fights back.
Okay.
It is one of the most New York movies ever. Like, they're just like, all we have to do is drive to the airport. And it's like, that never works. You know, it is just a comedy of errors of trying to get out of New York. It is one of the funniest goddamn things you've ever seen in your life.
Oh.
But it was this small little movie that no one saw, and I think part of that was that outside of New York, it doesn't play very well. Because if you don't know New York, you don't get, like, no, this is, I've had days like this. You know?
Okay.
She's like, holy shit. And it's astoundingly funny, but at one point they get into this cab, like late in the game, and there's a cab driver. This was Tony Shalhoub's first role.
Oh.
And he was supposed to, like, I think, like, the whole joke of it was that he doesn't speak English.
That's a very Shalhoub.
Understand English.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, it was the 80s, it's like, let's make fun of cab drivers, fine.
Right.
But he was supposed to, as far as I understand, like, just kind of say, like, one or two things and not quite understand.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept going, like, he invented a fake language.
Okay.
And he kept going, so they rewrote part of the plot to give him more to do.
Wow.
And it just, he just went from this, like, you know, like, a minute-long bit to being in, like, a good, I mean, and again, 10 minutes, but being in 10 minutes of this film, and he's one of the things you definitely remember, and in a movie with, like, Bill Murray and Randy Quaid at the height of their powers, so to speak, like, remembering him is a feat, right? Hmm. And it's stunning to watch Shalhoub just work.
Oh, cool. Well, that sounds...
And that was one of the things going to Mrs. Maisel, was just like, holy shit, like, you don't have to give Shalhoub much to do. He will make something out of nothing. And like I said, like, his career started by doing that. Like, this is where the man lives, and so watching him on this show is just so great.
Okay, I have some weird news for you.
Yeah.
Tony Shalhoub's first role was not in the movie Quick Change. It was on a television show.
Okay.
Can you guess what the first ever appearance of Tony Shalhoub was in? What show? Now, this is related to me and my particular television obsessions.
Oh. So, let's see. It's going to be, oh god, what the hell's the name of the show? The Equalizer?
Yes! He was in The Equalizer as a terrorist leader. In the episode.
Yeah, no, I think Quick Change was like his first or second movie role then.
Yeah, no, that, I think, yeah, I'm just looking at his IMDb credits. I believe that looked like his first ever, is uncredited in a movie called Heartburn? But he was also in Spencer Fryer. Tony Shalhoub hit that 80s TV, like, trifecta.
Right.
But yeah, it looks like Quick Change was one of the very first, like, movie roles that he ever had. Oh man, I've got to see this.
And again,
this,
like,
sounds fantastic.
Seriously, I have to see this movie. If for nothing else, then you will finally understand one of the funniest lines in cinematic history, frankly. They're just two guys working out some stuff.
Okay.
Which, again, sounds like nothing until you see the scene and you're just like, what?
Right.
What the shit? And then just that brush off of, like, meh, is stunning.
Huh.
But the entire film is like that. Like, Quick Change is just, it's a gift. And so I have made it a mission. Like, it's one of those movies that if you hang around me long enough, like, you will see.
Okay.
You know, it's like Noises Off. Noises Off and Quick Change are those two movies that happen around the same time.
Yeah,
that
Christ,
no
Noises
one seems
Off.
To have seen.
Yeah, that's, nobody ever watched. I mean, I remember Noises Off. And that was like one of those weirdly, it was like one of those movies that, like, you just, I just kind of think I rented, like, from some video store, probably on VHS one time, you know, and I was like, hey,
right.
This is better than I thought.
And then you realize it's like one of the funniest goddamn things ever committed to
it
film.
It was good, yeah. Oh man, I hadn't thought about Noises Off.
I watch it like every year or so, just because, again, that cast cannot be,
mm-hmm.
like, overstated. you know, anything where you're like, well, it has Michael Caine and Carol Burnett, and you're like, okay, well, there's your cast. It's like, no, also John Ritter and Christopher Reeve. It's like, well, okay. Also Mary Lou Henner, and you're just like, everyone in that cast is just like top of their fucking game.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, no, that fucking movie is the destroyer of comedies. Like, my mother, who has no sense of humor, I gotta say,
okay.
She's like, she just has no sense of humor. Like, I love comedies and all this, and she'll watch stuff, just be like, eh, and like not even fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't twitch.
Right.
I showed her Noises Off, and she almost fell out of a chair. Like, because that thing is, you know, because it is a play, and for people who've never seen Noises Off, it is a play about a play. And the second act all takes place backstage, where they can barely talk because of noise.
Oh, oh, can you hold on
and
one second?
And it's all just physical timing comedy.
Sorry, I gotta plug in my computer. I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. And that's when Aiden's machine died and never came back. And so we'll cue some music and come back next week. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah.